I'd like to welcome everyone out this morning. This is our Friday, December 14th, regular session of Commissioners Court. This morning, Commissioner Crabtree will give us an invocation, and then we'll stand for our pledges.
Most gracious and heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come here and govern our county, and Lord, just be with each one of us and give us wisdom as we make our decisions and give us courage to do the right thing. And Lord, I just ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honoring the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
I want to excuse Commissioner Spencer this morning. His son was graduating from A&M, and he said he wanted to be there to see that investment pay off. Item 3 on the agenda is to consider and take action on approval of the minutes of the meetings held on November the 30th, 2012, December the 4th, 2012, and December the 6th, 2012.
Make a motion to approve the minutes from the meetings of November the 30th, December the 4th, and December the 6th, 2012.
Second.
The motion's by Commissioner Crittenden, seconded by Commissioner Heffner. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those minutes are approved. Item B are payroll changes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden to approve payroll changes. Those in favor?
Aye.
Payroll changes are approved. Item C is the payroll.
Motion to approve payroll.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, seconded by Commissioner Crabtree to approve payroll. Those in favor?
Aye.
Payroll is approved.
That's election and legal payroll.
Okay. Item D are the budget amendments.
Judge, I have a question about budget amendments.
Yes, sir.
Are these budget amendments for this current year, or are these for last year?
They're for this year. They are for bonds that there weren't enough funds put in those lines to cover the bonds that had to be issued for this coming year, starting in January.
Okay. It was this unexpected bonds, but we're only 6 weeks into the new budget year, and we're already having budget amendments.
There just wasn't the money put into the lines for them, so they're having to move money to cover them.
And they're moving them from within their department?
Yes.
From printed materials and move to approve budget amendments.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Heffner, seconded by Commissioner Crabtree to approve budget amendments. Those in favor?
Aye.
Budget amendments are approved.
Thank you for the answer.
She answered all those questions.
Next are the accounts payable. Any questions?
Are we where Road and Bridge can kind of...
I'm sorry?
Go back to normal on their spending? They've been kind of holding back because of, the tax receipts started coming in a little bit?
Yes, the money has started coming in, but...
Okay. I don't think they're going to be doing anything big anyway, but...
We paid a big chunk of things this time, like our liability insurance and everything else. So we had a chunk of money going out, but tax money is still coming in. The biggest parts of it have not come in. It's flowing pretty good now. Better than what it was.
It's flowing, huh?
Move to approve accounts payable.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Heffner, seconded by Commissioner Crabtree to approve accounts payable. Those in favor?
Aye.
Accounts payable are approved.
Thank you, Mike.
Next is auditor's reports.
Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Move to record auditor's report.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Heffner, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden to record auditor's reports. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are recorded. Item 3G or treasurer's reports.
Mine will be next time.
Okay. Item 3G won't require any action. Item 3H, record an interlocal cooperation contract with DPS. This has to do with collections on tickets that we executed back on August 31st meeting.
Move to record the interlocal cooperation to get
contract
with Texas Department of Public Safety.
Motion by Commissioner Heffner, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden. Those in favor?
Aye.
That contract's recorded. Our bonds, oaths, and deputations. We have the sheriff's blanket bond and a deputation for Jerry D. Saylor.
Make a motion to approve the bonds, oaths, and deputations as presented.
Second.
There's one other one, too. There's a cancellation on Timothy Barnett's, just so everybody's aware of it. But we probably need to record it. It'll cancel on December the 31st when Constable Harris leaves office. And then, so Barnett won't be the deputy anymore. So his bond will cancel.
I'll include that that cancellation of bond in my motion.
Okay. That motion is by Commissioner Crittenden, seconded by Commissioner Heffner. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's recorded. Item J is the corrected state and county tax summary.
What was the correction on the judge?
You know, I didn't even ask her.
They had to make an adjustment on it, and they resubmitted that for the delinquent tax and everything on that. It's in the middle part of it. Should show you a minus
$15.47. Okay.
That's the difference right there. Okay. And then the delinquent payment for the attorneys is in the middle. We paid that today. That's in there. That's $7,000
something.
7167.
Yes.
Okay.
Motion to record.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, seconded by Commissioner Heffner to record the corrected tax summary. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's recorded. Item K are the applications for use of Upshur County Roads, rights of way, and permit requests.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Did anybody bring them up?
Yeah, they're in the box.
All right. Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden. Those in favor?
Aye.
The applications are approved. Item 4 is to discuss and take action to appoint an Upshur County resident to the Tri-County Community Action Board of Directors. And Commissioner Crittenden has been handling this for quite some time and has indicated that he would like to continue to do that. If, I don't want to speak over what you want to say. But
yeah, I mean, this involves a minimum of a monthly meeting in the center of Texas on a Monday evening. The meeting starts at 6:30. That means that you leave and Ms. Gentry's here, so I'm glad you're here. It would mean that at least once a month you would be going to center, which is an hour and a half drive. The meeting lasts till anywhere from 8:30 until 9:15 at night, and then you would drive back. there's some things that the board's working on right now that I would like to continue to be involved in. And the judge has the opportunity or has the option to appoint somebody to fill the elected position that's got to be filled or whatever. And I'm asking at this point in time, unless you'd like to serve, that I would like to go ahead and remain on the board until at such time I see I can't, and then I'll come back to the court and make the court aware that I know I will be able to serve.
Mr. Barker's here too. So.
Are you saying that is the judge appoints that position?
Ms. Neal told me that it's a resolution by the court. That she says the court needs to vote, and then I send the letter.
I remember when we voted and put you on it, but I don't remember. That was a long time ago, and so.
Yeah, about 7 years ago. So, I may have stated it wrong. There's three positions on board, and one of them has to be filled by an elected official, and that comes from the appointment of the court and through a letter generated by the county judge. So I guess that clears up a little bit of whatever. And so you don't have to be an elected official just as long as you're appointed by an elected by a member of the court to serve, and then the judge.
Now don't we have somebody that we appointed a citizen to that a while back?
No. That's me. I'm filling the elected position.
I understand that.
We've got Mr. Fred Anderson that serves in another capacity on the board, and we've got Tina Smith that serves.
Okay, that's what I thought. So is there another citizen that's on there? I mean, is there an allotted spot for a third private citizen?
No.
So no, which one of them are we going to remove?
I'm the one that's going off the board. As long as I'm the elected official or whatever, and I'm not coming back on, then that vacancy has to be filled or whatever. But I can remain on the board as long as the court appoints me to remain on the board.
As the elected person?
As the elected position, correct. So Ms. Smith is serving, that's a voted on position by the public. Mr. Anderson is serving, and that's an appointed position from the Secretary of the Poor or something. I forget how it's worded, but.
When does this term, do there are terms? Or?
No, it's not term limited.
Are either one of y'all interested?
I'm not opposed to
it. I think that's
it. I know nothing about it.
It's not against James, but I think that's one of those things that that one of the commissioners, whether it's one of the new ones or one of the old ones, I think that's one of them positions that we have always chose to put a elected official on there. And like I said, it's nothing against you. I just think that, and I'm not saying that we can. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that I think that an elected official is better representing the county there in that position.
Yeah, and that's fine and whatever. But I can tell you this: there are several members of the board that down there right now. Because of the inconvenience of the drive and the hours that they meet or whatever, that the elected officials can't take part in the in the activities of the board, so they appoint, their courts have appointed certain people to serve, and that like I said, there's 18 of us on the board, and right now I am the. I think there's two or three of us that are elected in those positions, that are elected and fill in those positions. The rest have been appointed by their courts. So, and like I say, there's some things that we're working on that I would really appreciate the opportunity to go ahead and complete.
Have you talked to Spencer? No.
You talked to Yolanda that was from down there, correct?
Yolanda Neal.
Right. Did she give you any information pertaining to this, or, I mean?
We want
to. She just told me that, she needed the court to vote, and then at least she said, if you don't sign a resolution, I need a letter from you saying the action that the court took.
Is this something we can maybe wait on and see if one of the new ones want to look into it, or between now and the next meeting?
Well, the next meeting is going to be January the 14th,
December 31.
Yeah, we have one more meeting this week.
No, no, I'm saying their meeting's going to be January the 14th.
Oh, okay.
The next one, if I'm not mistaken. It's typically, it's the first Monday of the month, but there's some adjustments that needs to be made in the next meeting. The next one should have been on January the 7th, and they moved it to January the 14th. So, but typically it will be the first month, first Monday of each month.
Why are you going to wait a couple weeks, will it?
Yeah. Is there going to be okay. Is there any motions?
I think we ought to wait and let him look in. No offense.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. I think that
if they don't want
that
it,
one of the two of them should have the opportunity. If not, well, Mike and Cole should have that opportunity, so.
Okay.
I think Commissioner Spencer would be really good at it. Let's just warn him while he's not here.
Hey, I like that. That's what happens when you don't show up.
You don't show up.
You get volunteered.
Okay. You got the new Diana superintendent with us, so I'm going to skip down to number 5, which is discuss and take action to approve resolution concerning parking on side of Highway 154 in front of New Diana High and Middle Schools. And from what I understand, Superintendent, is you have people parking there or stopping early in the morning and kids running across the highway. And
yes, sir.
Okay.
And I noticed coming in this morning, I guess TxDOT, they've already erected those signs, the no parking signs, but what started all this conversation, I was kind of the cart before the horse at this point, but was that since Diana's unincorporated, then it falls under the jurisdiction of the county before they could do that. But more so than that, it was the enforcement of the signs. If they were there, we needed the county's support in that if there were issuance of tickets and people parking in that zone, that there would be support at the county level
okay.
for that enforcement.
I did, and I have discussed it with the sheriff, and he said that he could see if he could get some people out there. I think that we briefly talked about it last time because I had posted it incorrectly is down in front of the elementary school. And some members of the court, I don't even remember who, said that, you know, on Friday nights, people park all everywhere just trying to get to the football field.
Yes, sir.
And so we think we'll be okay with that? Or
well, this was the second part of the conversation. And again, if Diana were a city, it would be very easy that as a city, you could issue the no parking and the time frame in which to place on the signs and say, because really what we're most after is enforcement during the drop-off and pickup times, both morning and the afternoon. As far as parking for football games, those types of things, we're not as much concerned about. So when I spoke to TxDOT about putting certain time limits on the signs, they said they don't get into that. That's a governing issue that they're not a part of. As far as they'll put up the signs, but as far as it would be the county's pleasure as to enforcement as to whether that's
okay.
a 24/7 issue. But for as far as the school's concerned, we're most concerned within the afternoon in particular with parents wanting to park. I mean, we tried to to issue the fact, please don't do that. But of course, we still And we had TxDOT come in, and sure enough, they're taking pictures and said, yep, it's quite evident you've got the parents are persistently wanting to pick up they don't want to wait to come through the line, and you've got kids darting across. And so that was what brought it to my attention. I had one of my trustees ask me to look into this. So, Judge, to your question, I don't know if there could be an issuance of a disclaimer below the no parking to say these are the enforcement times, or it's just kind of an unwritten rule to say that as far as the district is concerned, we're most between the hours of 7 and 8 in the morning and between 3 and 4 in the afternoon,
okay.
or what we're most concerned about.
I think that if I have a discussion with the sheriff and with the sergeant with DPS and they understand that, I think everything will be fine.
You don't think we need to post the signs out there with the hours on them? I mean, I've seen it in the other school zones, and it's just a small little sign. which is enough to indicate to the citizens when, if they do need to park there on a Friday night or after school hours for the school activity, you got the parents that are parking there, it may throw a...
I think he's saying TxDOT doesn't want to post that kind of sign.
Well, he says that they won't.
We can't post on TxDOT sign. We can't post on the highway.
And we can't post on the right of way.
And so if TxDOT won't do it...
You got a law out there that's going to be left up to the individual officer whether he's going to enforce it or not. And that is no good.
That
philosophy just won't work. I mean, because if an officer comes by there in the middle of the night and there's somebody that's parked there,
it's discretionary with the officer as to what he does.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
well, okay, but I mean, law enforcement is discretionary in every case. I mean,
no.
Yes, there's only one law in Texas that has to be enforced. It's a protective order.
I was thinking, where there's no discretion. I could be wrong, but I was thinking out here on 271 at Union Grove, I think they specify the hours that you've got.
Union Grove is incorporated.
Is it?
Or I don't know. They've got some kind of odd situation.
They're incorporated.
I don't know. It would just, it's going to create a problem with somebody that's that can say, well, there's no hours. That's posted
and I'm
there.
I'm just going to so I'm just going to ask a question. No, I'm not. Just never mind.
I mean, I'm not. Look, I'm not being a smart aleck. I just don't think it's that difficult. They're asking for our support, and I mean, the sergeant is fully capable of telling his officers what to do, and the sheriff is too.
If the signs are already posted, what difference does it make? Yeah. Is my question.
And if we can't post any time limits out there, then how come we have to give the permission to post the signs on the state roadway?
The only thing I can think of on the signs is perhaps there was confusion in the original posting of the 2 weeks ago on the posting on the agenda that the signs would go up. I don't know if they just didn't, if it was just an assumption on their part or if Mr. Ibarra just didn't, you know, the work order got put through. I don't know, but I just know coming in this morning, I said, oh my, so they've already erected those signs. But again, that was your questions are very relevant, and my board has also entertained those same questions, and I'm saying, but we can't, as far as a district, we can't specify the times. TxDOT won't get into that argument as far as whether you want to define the times. It would have to be, to your point, either it's kind of an unwritten understanding with law enforcement that really for the district's purpose, it is to really curtail and encourage folks not to park there during the loading and unloading times of the day, but as far as football games or any other events. But now, if again, it goes back to the fact that if the county perceives that to be a safety concern with having vehicles parked on that side of the road, I don't know that there's been any situations with wrecks or traffic issues during hotly contested basketball games and or football games when you do have a number of vehicles that choose to park anywhere and everywhere during those sporting events.
You said we can't post caution and pass this and trust the officers to use discretion. I mean, they're going to understand. They're going to be reasonable.
I agree. And I mean, I just think that, you know, protect some.
What I said was, I know I talked too quiet. To me, it's better to err on the side of caution in this particular situation. And I think the officers will use discretion. I don't think they're going to abuse the opportunity to write people up. I don't have a problem with it.
Those that give up freedoms for security deserve neither freedoms nor security.
Yeah, Benjamin Franklin, yeah, I know.
So let the sixth grader get run over.
No, that's not what I said. We are giving up our freedoms.
We've got our street
and pulling signs up and stopping on the side of the road if a wasp flies in the window and the DPS officer's sitting there and he's going to give you a ticket for it?
I doubt it.
Well, if they're going to strictly enforce a no parking.
Well, they're not going to.
Well, it's discretionary is what we discussed.
It's discretionary, Judge.
It is. That's right.
So it could happen.
All right. Is there a motion?
Y'all can do it next month. I'm sure it'll be easy.
If the signs, yeah. If the signs are already up over there, what we need to take action on it for.
All right. We'll revisit this in January just to show support from the court. Thank you for being here, Superintendent.
And the two new members that have come on have got a heads up already, so.
Thank you. Thank you for coming, Superintendent.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Nobody else wants to. There's a motion and a second to adjourn. Those in favor? We're adjourned. Prior to adjourning on the regular agenda, we have an addendum, which the item on the addendum is to discuss and take action to provide for information technology purchases. And I've talked to the auditor some. She keeps up with everybody's budget anyway, the amount of money everybody has. And so the inline could call up, talk to LaWanna or the auditor, and they can get a PO. But what I suggest is that we put some kind of limit on it, that without either approval by the court or by a member of the court, they can only spend like up to $500.
And this would be with a separate.
Unless you just want to let them. Yeah, it's for if they buy hardware.
We'll be buying just like we always have from a computer supplier,
right,
vendor.
And I've been, there's some bills like our, the maintenance on our mainframe downstairs that I signed off on. It was like $4,000. I signed off on that bill. And I don't know, maybe you don't want to limit inline at all. Just allow the auditor to sort of keep track of it and watch it. But we just need to make some provision so that we can get the hardware that we need.
Well, I mean, we've already contracted with them to provide the service that Ms. Kelly was providing to us, and we didn't limit her expenses, I don't believe. And if we tie their hands, for lack of a better term or whatever, to doing what they're doing, we're probably going to limit ourselves as to the service that we're going to get from them. If it's, it should be business as usual. If they've got an expense, it should come before the court, just as Ms. Kelly had brought it before the court for an expense.
Okay.
And let us know, let this court or the new court know, we've got a problem in this area. We're going to have to buy this kind of hardware when we need this equipment.
I don't have a problem with maybe going up to $500, maybe, because they may need something quick.
Yeah.
Like if somebody's computer crashes, they need to replace it. They don't need to wait 2 weeks.
But would $500 do that? I mean, I don't.
It won't replace the whole thing, but it'll replace components of it, won't it? I thought Carmen said they were about $450 or something.
The things that are going to probably get us in a bind and need replacing first are probably going to cost more than $500.
Well, then we could let the judge,
right? Somebody
or the court.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with bringing it before the court, like it's been done in the past?
Well, because Carmen had the ability to if something was that she needed right now, she had the ability to buy it and then bring it to the commissioner's court for post-purchase blessing, I suppose, is the way you'd say it.
Well, it's accounts payable.
Right. But then...
We didn't approve any of her... I mean, we approved it with all of the accounts payable. You're right. She had unlimited spending power, as long as it was within our budget.
Right.
And but there was occasionally where she might bring something to us.
She came before y'all with JP Technology.
With JP Technology, she always did. That's right. But she didn't with just her ordinary purchases.
If it was in her budget, she didn't.
No, she didn't.
We saw the accounts payable like normal.
So you may not need to limit them at all. Just allow the auditor to
perform her job. Audit. Check it.
You want to? Well, how about 1,000?
1,000 sounds better than the 500.
I think we ought to have something on it. It needs to be to look at.
I'm not going to say that it probably needs a cap.
Okay.
But I don't know where to. I haven't.
Well, is this going to be a 2-week cap until the next meeting? I mean, how long are you going to? Because if you cap it at 1,000 and we you know, we've got a problem in the commissioner's office, and then in 3 days you've got a problem down in the sheriff's.
No, it'll be per purchase, a single purchase.
Yeah, single purchase.
Yeah, not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Judge, can I make a suggestion, though?
That's what I was thinking.
If we get hit by lightning or something like that, that y'all let the judge use the discretion or the auditor. Because if we have 4, 5, 6 things go down, we have.
Telephones. Telephones in particular is what coming to my mind.
Have to be able to work.
Surge or something.
Because and I don't know how much it costs when those telephone systems go down, but if our telephone system, the computer system, we can probably get by without it for a very short time, but if the telephone system goes down in dispatch, it's got to be fixed right now. Well, if it's $1,000 or $10,000,
if we cap it at 1,000. Unless
which I guess
it's an emergency,
you can have an emergency meeting, right? Especially.
Well, you could just allow the judge to declare it an emergency.
Leave it up to me and the auditor to make the decision.
If it's an emergency,
that would be good.
Over $1,000.
Leave it up to the judge and the.
Thank you.
And the auditor.
It's probably not going to happen, but it's possible.
It's probably not. You're right.
I've been here when it has, though. When we've had 5 and 6 of them hit.
Can I ask why you don't want to let them do their job? And I mean, they've got a budget to operate in, just like
I agree, but Carmen was a county employee and they're a contractor, and I just think it would be a good idea to have a look at it.
Motions.
So how would that?
I'll make a motion that the county judge and the auditor approve any expenditures, so single point expenditures over $1,000.
In IT?
In IT.
And allow Inline to make purchases otherwise?
Yes.
All right.
I have a question. Who will sign off on bills? If they are allowed to call and get a PO, will they also be signing off on those bills that they received the bids, and that will be enough for approval from us?
They have to, I would think.
Or would that need to be one of y'all's that have to sign off that? Yes,
well, I think they need to sign it, but then Janice said she may also have me sign off on it too.
Someone from Inline, in my mind, has to sign off on the PO, because there's nobody that's sitting here that's gonna know what they get, whether it's you know, us or the new guys. You know, we're not gonna see what they order and when it comes in, and we don't know what they received. So they have to sign.
Yeah, they'll need
that.
To sign the bill or the invoice. Is there a second?
So we'll still see the bills.
You still should get a copy of the invoice.
You'll
for
just,
sure.
It'll just go up to 1,000 and stop until.
Until the judge approves it. The auditor will issue the PO and the judge will approve it, and that's.
Second.
The motion by Commissioner Crabtree, seconded by Commissioner Hefner, is to allow Inline to receive POs from the auditor's office up to $1,000, and over $1,000 has to be approved by the auditor and the county judge. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
It passes 2-1.